Welcome to the Masterclass of One with Zig Ziglar Master Coach David Creel. It's called the Masterclass of One because it's about the person David is speaking to, but you can listen and act like David is asking you the questions. Then go and apply them and change your life. If you want to create impact in the lives of others, increase your personal income, and be a more productive and efficient human being, you're in the right place. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, David Creel, Certified Ziglar Master Coach, with the fourth of seven that I'm going to be producing and releasing over the next few weeks about the Wheel of Life. Years ago, Zig Ziglar came up with the Wheel of Life, and it basically covers every area of life that truly matters. Mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, and career. Now, of those, the three most important are mental, spiritual, and physical, because we're mental, spiritual, and physical beings. But that was the first three episodes, mental, spiritual, physical. Today, we're going to talk about the fourth spoke of the wheel, the family spoke. Some families are well-functioning for the most part, and they get along, and there's love in the house. And some families put the fun in dysfunctional. So one of my competitive advantages that I've had in my life is my parents are still married, and they loved me. So that was one of my advantages I have. Some people aren't as fortunate. But with your family, it's examples and warnings. Like, here's the example of what you should do, and here's a warning of what you shouldn't do. But the choice is yours. Even if you grew up in a family that, let's just say, wasn't ideal, that doesn't mean you can't make your own family ideal. Because every day you get a choice, or you can make a choice to do something different. I think I read a study, and the average parent talks to their kids 20 minutes a week. Yikes. Now, for those of you on YouTube, you'll be able to see this. For those of you on the podcast, you won't. But let me tell you what's not talking to your kid when they're doing like this on their phone and they're not even looking at you. That's not communication. So what are you doing to intentionally spend time with your family? I already know what you're saying. I know, but you don't know my schedule. That's true. I 100% don't. No clue. But I know for the most part, you control your schedule. Most of the people listening to this aren't, in prison or... Okay. So maybe you need to not continue putting stuff onto your plate so that you can have more time for the family. You see, because how often does it go where the demands of the job or extracurricular activities or binge watching the latest can't miss show on Netflix or wherever your streaming platform is, instead of maybe playing a board game together or going for a family walk. You know, we did that a couple of years ago during COVID, during lockdown. Families were spending more time together, forced, albeit, but still. But it got back to the point where, I mean, you want to spend time with your family. So what are you doing to cultivate your family to where you're not the warning, like, no, don't do like what they do, but you're the example. Like, hey, other families look to you and say, like, hey, they seem to have everything together. So, and like for your spouse, maybe you do one small thing for your spouse every day that they are fully capable of doing themselves. Might try it out, see what happens. I think it was Gary Chapman who wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. And the thing about the love languages is it's about the other person's love language, not your own love language. So like, for example, the five love languages: physical touch, quality time, words of affirmation, giving and receiving gifts, and acts of service. So physical touch, okay, that goes without saying. Acts of service is, you know, where you mow the grass, or you do the laundry, or you do the dishes, or you cook dinner, or you sweep the floor, or whatever. Quality time is exactly quality time. Quality time is exactly what it says. It's where you're not both so involved in your device that you, I don't know, maybe have a conversation with each other. Something to think about. Let's see what's next. Giving and receiving gifts. Okay, that's fairly obvious. And they don't have to be big gifts or expensive gifts. They could just be, hey, I was at the grocery store and I got you a candy bar, or I got you a pack of gum or whatever. Okay. And then the last one is words of affirmation. You know, babe, honey, son, daughter, you're doing awesome. Like, keep up the great work. Mark Twain said, I can live for 2 months on a single compliment. So are you, in your speech to your family, is it uplifting and encouraging, or is it downgrading and discouraging? Because what we say is important. But the thing about the love languages is, like I said, let's say your spouse's love language is words of affirmation, but your love language is acts of service. How you feel and receive love is, that's your love language, but how they receive it is different. So if theirs is words of affirmation and yours is acts of service, our tendency will be to do our own love language on our spouse. So acts of service, you might do all the laundry and all the cooking and all the cleaning and making sure lunches are ready and the whole deal. But it's not going to land as much or as effectively if their love language is words of affirmation, then you writing a two-sentence note saying, hey, honey, your babe or son or daughter, I think you're doing a fantastic job. Keep up the great work. that's going to go way more in their favor of filling up their tank than the acts of service. So the thing about the five love languages is, I mean, there's a free quiz. It's readily available for the five love languages. But you figure out your spouse's love language, and then you figure out your kid's love language. And then you go against your nature if that's not your main love language. And that's how you kind of build them up, whatever their love language is. And generally, there's a primary one and a secondary one. So like my primary one is physical touch. And the second one is words of affirmation. So if someone comes and buys me a gift, I mean, it's fine. I'll take it. And I'm not going to turn it away. But that doesn't really move the needle for me, because physical touch and words of affirmation are my top two love languages. So I'd encourage you to take the love language quiz, because it can't hurt. Let's just call it like that. But another thing is, maybe you set aside time where you have dinner together at the table at your house without technology.
Yeah,
without technology. Remember back in the day, I don't know if they still have it, Chick-fil-A. When you go to Chick-fil-A, they had little cardboard boxes that you could set on your table. And the idea was, whenever you sat down at the table, you put your phones and your iPads and whatever else you had into that box. And you, I don't know, talked to the people at the table. Shocking. Yeah. Might want to do that. Now, we don't bat 1,000 on this. But more often than not, whenever we sit down, we have dinner at our house, or whenever we have dinner, at least 4 or 5 times a week, at least. I mean, we have dinner every night, but I mean, like, whenever we're together, we're together. And almost never is the TV even on. And I'm getting to where I don't even bring my phone to the table, because then I don't have the distraction, and I don't have someone buzzing or calling me, because the time with your family is important. It's way more important than whatever's happening outside the walls of your house. You know, because, you know, newsflash, everyone is getting older. And, you know, on your deathbed, I guarantee you, you're not going to be telling yourself, I need to live another week because I really need to go back to the office and do some more work. What you're going to be thinking is, or what I've been told, or what I've read that people think, because I'm not on my deathbed right now currently, is, I wish I'd have spent more quality time with my family, or talking to my spouse, or playing with my kids, or whatever. Mark Batterson said this: an inheritance is what you leave to someone, and a legacy is what you leave in someone. So I would challenge you, try to spend some time, as much time as possible, with your family. You know, I specifically wore this shirt And for those on the podcast, you can't see, I've got a Ron John Surf Shop shirt on. I got this in Florida on a family vacation. When we were together. And for the most part, we didn't have our phones out all the time either. So I would just challenge you. Look at your family situation. Is that what, how you want it to be? If that's how you want it to be, and everyone's happy and thriving and, you know, having a grand old time, awesome, keep it up. But there may just be just one little tweak you could make that could make all the difference. And remember, to kids, love is spelled T-I-M-E. And again, quality time is not goofing off on your phones or your iPad or your computer. Quality time is being present with them. Like they're the most important person in the whole world. Because, I mean, they kind of should be. So, hope this was encouragement to you. And we'll see you on the next solo episode, which will be number 5 of 7, which is the financial spoke. Y'all have a great one. Talk to you soon.
David has been a coach basically his entire life. He was made to coach people. He loves seeing people transform their lives through coaching. It's been said that it takes a coach to get you to a place inside yourself that you can't get to by yourself. It's also been said that you're only one conversation away from a completely changed life, and that nothing ever happens outside of a conversation. If you'd like to have a conversation with David about where you currently are in life and where you want to go, reach out to him at davidcreel.com.